Okay, this is a special episode. Cousin Vinny's in the car. Cousin Vinny is 17, and she's staying with me this week from Seattle. I'm going to be giving her driving directions while we're talking. Vinny has led a super interesting life because she was born in Utah, lived in Italy, then lived in Japan, now lives in Seattle, and she is also a foodie. So we share many interests. Mostly we love talking about food, books, shows, food again. We just picked up some Korean and we're on our way home. So I was like, hey, you need to come on and talk to the people about your wide, broad food experience from the point of a child. So up here you can get in the left and turn left.
At this light?
Yeah.
Okay,
so take me back to your earliest memory. Is that Italy?
I remember like little weird things about Utah. Like, I remember having a bad dream about, did you ever read the book about like the big bad wolf who goes and has tea time?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I had a dream he chased me around a supermarket. But that was like my only memory of Utah. But then yeah, it would be Italy, I think. Okay. Like my more like memorable.
Okay. So on the podcast before, we've talked about early childhood sensory memories.
Yeah.
So that's taste, smell, music. So thinking back on your days in Italy, what would be like the first imprinted sensory memory where you're like, oh my gosh, this food is amazing, or this smell or sound or whatever?
When we were in Italy, I used to, there was like a little,
you can turn left here.
Okay. Like a little deli bakery thing right by our house. And my babysitter every day during lunch used to take me to get these sandwiches, and it was just like, it was like milk bread with just ham. And I just remember that being the best thing ever.
Tell me about milk bread.
It was just like, it was kind of like white Wonder Bread, except it was like fluffier, and the outside it was more of like a little loaf shape, and it had like a bit of like a crunchier, like crisper crust around it.
Okay, well, and it was probably made fresh every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was in Spain, I lived above a bakery, and it was so probably cool. The best thing of my life.
That is so cool.
My croissants every morning.
Yeah.
Okay, so can we talk about pasta?
Yes.
Tell me about like your favorite pasta when you were a kid growing up.
I would have to say we used to eat just like noodles with olive oil, which was really good. Ooh. Or just like the pasta bolognese with like the meat sauce, and like it was like the red meat sauce with like carrots and onions in it, and it was just like rich and so good.
That sounds amazing. You're making me so hungry. So when you were little and you would come back stateside, you would speak perfect Italian. Mm-hmm. Was that more like your first-ish language? Were you pretty comfortable with Italian?
Yeah, I would think so, because when we moved to Italy, I was only 1 year old, so I wasn't speaking very much. And then I got put into an Italian Catholic school where we only spoke Italian. And so I really only spoke English like a couple hours to my parents at the end of the day. So I would say it was definitely my first language.
Yeah. Oh, it was so cute. I just wanted to put you in my pocket. Okay, so tell me about, because I also remember coming and visiting you. So up here on Bannock, you're going to turn right.
Okay.
Coming and visiting you right when you moved back to the States. And you were like a total foodie. And it was your 10th birthday or 11th birthday.
I remember that, yeah.
And you requested like a really good chef's knife for your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then on your own birthday, you made us incredible food. Which I felt bad because you were cooking on your birthday. But when did that spark where you just decided like, I love cooking, I love putting my hands on food?
Actually, I remember this very vivid memory of me making scrambled eggs in the morning with my dad in Italy. And just ever since then, I've just always, like, loved being in the kitchen. And I think part of it is because, like, that's something me and my dad can bond over. Like, a lot of the times when we cook together... Oops.
You're good.
when we cook together, we'll, like, listen and just talk about music and catch up. So yeah. Part of it is kind of, like, comforting. But also, it's just, like, for me, it's something very therapeutic.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. Sometimes if I'm angry and raged out... You can turn left here.
Okay.
I just start chopping an onion. I put butter in a pan and I start chopping an onion. And I'm like, I don't know what this is going to be, but yeah. This is what my body needs to do right now. And then I, you know, create something for better or for worse. Best. Yeah.
This way?
Yep. Follow this around and then kind of when you can get in the right lane.
Okay.
So you, can you, okay, there was in Italy, there was like a chocolate festival or something like that.
Yeah.
Are you a chocolate person?
It really kind of depends on my mood. I love chocolate, but sometimes I feel like if it's like Hershey's chocolate or like a candy bar or something, I feel like it's too sweet and I get really sick of it really fast.
Yeah, because you're used to good chocolate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I remember there was like this dark chocolate covered like cherry, and I just remember biting into it and like the juices like dripping everywhere, and it was like those kind of chocolates where it's like the bold combinations.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That's incredible. So what's your favorite Italian dessert?
Okay. We had these bombolini, and they're like these like little donuts. They're just like giant donuts. And when they're hot, you roll them in sugar. Those were so good. Or, you know, there's like tiramisu and just like limoncello, the classics. But yeah. Bombolini were definitely my favorite. Or, actually, no, I take that back. There were these, like, meringues. Like, the... Not the French meringues with the coconut, but, like, mm-hmm. the fluffy ones. Mm-hmm. And they would dip the bottoms of them in chocolate. And those were so good.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So, it's strange. Because when I lived in Spain, too, I experienced this. You eat, like, real food. And, like, they really place a lot of value on, like, food and drink.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I was, like, way healthier. I didn't have the aches and pains. I, like, deflated and lost a bunch of weight. Is that from walking everywhere? Or do you notice, being in America, that things are just not as fresh? What is that?
I think it plays into both of those things. Number one, like, the food over there isn't as processed. Things are more fresh. They don't rely so much on, like, convenience, fast food. Like, what can you put in a microwave?
Yeah.
And so I think that helps a lot. And then, two, there is, like, a lot more, like, walking and just riding your bikes to places instead of just driving everywhere. So I do think it is both of those things. But I think... Was it...
No, right. On this exit.
I think, was it you I was talking to about how, like, people here in America, they can, like, be lactose intolerant and, like, gluten intolerant, but if they go anywhere else, they're totally fine.
Yeah, yep.
And I think that's so crazy.
It's really interesting. So then, how old were you when you hopped over to Japan? And tell me about that transition. What a whiplash.
Okay, so I was 6, about to turn 7. And the weird part for me was it was a huge culture shock. Like, everything was totally different. And then for me, too, going from an Italian Catholic school to then being put onto a Dodds school on a military base, that was totally different. Like, the way kids would, like, act towards their teachers and just the way everything was more... the way the value of things was a lot different.
Stop here, and then after this you want to get in the left lane
after
the light.
Okay.
I can only imagine. So was Catholic Italian school stricter or school in Japan?
So I would definitely say Catholic school in Italy was stricter, but there was also like more community around it, so it was like bittersweet. The community was, like, a lot more involved in schools, and everybody knew everybody. If somebody was having a hard time, like, everybody would pray for them, and it just wasn't the same. And two, the structure of things was different. Like, I remember in Italian school, like, getting my mouth washed out with soap. Oh, you don't God. Do that here, or no. on, like, military school bases, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So was your sister in an actual Japanese school and mm-hmm. you were in a military-based yeah. school? Okay. Yeah. And your dad is not in the military, but he kind of works as yeah, a third party for the military.
Yeah, he's a civilian who works for the military.
Yeah. Okay. So at this light, this turning light, you want to go left. First I want to ask you about the language okay. shock, and then we just want to talk about food real quick. Okay. Or not real quick. What was it like going from first language Italian to trying to wrap your brain around Japanese? Because your younger sister mm-hmm. actually picked up Japanese yeah. really fast.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I remember you speaking Japanese, but I don't know. Was it hard for you?
It was definitely a lot harder just because I had already spent so many years just speaking,
turn right here.
Okay. English and Italian, and then to add on a third language that in no way is similar to either one of those was definitely hard. But what I actually had a harder time with was not the transition from English and Italian to Japanese, but in when we moved to Japan, I was speaking more English, and I had a harder time transitioning to speaking mostly English. I was actually in ESL, which was like their English as a second language program. And I was in that for about 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what I had a hard time with.
That's really interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you go from... Where were you at in Japan? I can't remember.
Oh, we were on an island called Okinawa. Actually, Papa was there for a little bit. And so was Uncle Bob.
Oh, in the war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So... what is the food difference like? Because I automatically, like, I know Okinawa actually is, like, the healthiest population ever, but it just makes me sad to think about, which I know there's really good Japanese yeah. food, but I'm, like, going from Italy and the pastry and the pasta to, Japanese, like, seafood. What was that like? I probably am not envisioning it right.
There was a lot of seafood, mm-hmm. but it wasn't all just like raw fish and salads yeah. and miso soup and rice. Mm-hmm. There was actually a lot of like fried foods, and like they would have pizza with like mayonnaise and corn on it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, you can turn left here.
Okay.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. And they also, I think a lot of it was their... On the island, it was really small. I think the widest point on the island was 2 miles. And so there really wasn't a lot of space for, like, big factories and stuff to process food. And to ship food in was super expensive. So everything there was pretty much fresh. It was really hard to find. Or it wasn't really hard, but it was more expensive and harder to find more processed foods that would, you know... But I liked it. It was good. But yeah.
So, okay. In yourself right now, mm-hmm. what do you notice is like having this hybrid of Seattle, Italian and Japanese? What are you finding is like shaping, how has it shaped your like tastes and preferences?
Actually, I struggle with that a lot just because, like, I've been raised in so many different places. I don't think, like, I've been just raised on, like, one culture, and all different cultures have different expectations mm-hmm. and practices and traditions. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think I'm a lot more open-minded to different things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was the community difference, like, between Italy? You described the community there. What was the difference in Japan?
Japan, it definitely wasn't, there wasn't as much of a community. People were definitely a lot more like fend for yourselves kind of situation. And so that was weird too. People were still really nice, but they weren't willing to like go up and out of their way to mm-hmm. like even say hi.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So now, as an almost 18-year-old, mm-hmm. what is your food vibe? What is your favorite thing to cook? And what is your, okay, my kids are attacking us right now. We just pulled into our driveway. What is your like influence of food? Where are you finding inspiration?
Really just anywhere. A lot of it is social media and just what other people cook.
Okay.
But yeah, that, or we'll have like old cookbooks, like from Cooks Illustrated, or just ones we've collected from different places we've lived. And it's always fun to go through those and like look at what recipes I know.
Yeah.
What's your go-to eating out?
Oh, there's this place by our house. It's called the Village Inn, and they have all sorts of stuff. They have like teriyaki, they have hamburgers, they have fish and chips, but they have really good Philly cheesesteaks there.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, I like that. All right. What's your recommendation for a show or a book or a movie?
I don't know. That's a good question. Oh, Pan's Labyrinth. I love that movie so much.
Oh.
And I love you.
I love you too, Lou.
I can't wait for our week together.
Me too. I'm so excited.
Okay, thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, of course. I'm sorry.